services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 226. I'm Adam, and oh shame, this is Debbie Melrose.
The point of archaeology is to carefully recover the past, not disintegrate it.
Kobe Bartlett Sloan.
What care I for the words of a half man who cowers from a woman's wrath?
And talking of women, Mary Lang.
Merlin, cease these games and tell me truly, is this the time?
This week we're looking at Battlefield.
And I had such a hard time coming up with, there's so many good quotes in this.
Oh, there are.
There are.
I have about 10.
All right, then. As there's so many good quotes, they're all allowed to do a second one. Yeah. Right, so therefore, I'll do another one. You stupid, stubborn, thick-headed numbskull. Debbie Melrose.
I think I would have noticed a nuclear explosion.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I don't know. It's not my mythology.
And Mary Lang.
Dig hole here.
And this week we're looking at Battlefield. Right then.
Really?
On which I'd only just managed to fit in. As Debbie walked through the door, the last little bits of it were playing. So that's how close I got. And how.
Yeah, you've had a busy weekend.
Yeah.
Yes. Who had the stupid idea of not cancelling the quiz this week? Yes, it was me. However, it will be cancelled next week.
I just looked accusingly.
As I understand, someone else volunteered to take over.
Yes, because I was in a situation where we hadn't cancelled it, so we had no choice. Fortunately, we have somebody who is almost as adept at me at doing it.
I was sat at work yesterday thinking, if he's going to ask me to do the quiz, why don't I just write questions now and then watch it again to get the answers for myself? So I did that instead.
Very good.
I was working. I
shall return to the art of quiz master in about 3 weeks, well, 2 weeks' time even. Right, so Battlefield begins with that annoying title sequence, if my computer...
No, really?
...actually start working. And then what do we get first? It's Brigadier, is that in his little house with
No,
Doris.
They're in the shop in the garden centre with Doris.
Oh, that was, yeah. Oh, I never knew that. I thought it was his garden.
No, that were the random people strolling about taking away pots, yeah.
They're purchasing the plant.
Okay, well, I never noticed. Why did I never notice that? Because I wasn't really bothered.
What I love is the fact that the reference to Sergeant Benton, and the last time he had seen Sergeant Benton was 1975.
Mm. Yeah, but this is set in the future, apparently.
Yes, but when exactly?
£5 coins are legitimate tender.
Yes, how ridiculous. Mind you, they are. I think you can get £5 coins.
They are legal tenor,
but they're commemorative.
And that price for a beer didn't seem out of whack at all.
No, it was lemonade and water, wasn't it, that he paid for?
Yes, it was lemonade and water.
Which is what lemonade is. It's carbonated water.
Yeah,
lemonade.
It was lemonade and water.
Cinematic.
I love the what's that called?
When the sky.
It's the sky, but the filter they put up there to make it look.
Oh yeah,
because it's blatantly it's a beautiful day.
Looming. Yeah.
The cinematography in this story is really, really good. I'm very impressed. That's it. Very good story. I'm enjoying.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah.
So there's
Master.
Yeah.
Master. This is the lowest rated classic Doctor Who story ever.
Can we talk about that at the end of it? Otherwise, it might change our views on it.
I said it already.
There's another nice little shot. I love the way they've done that frame, that the fact the reflections in that. There's a lot of thoughts gone into the photography side of this particular.
And the reveal that the Brigadier's a woman.
I know, isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
It's a very. A woman that's very tomboyish. Yes.
Sure is. She did play the female version of Lister in Red Dwarf.
Oh, did she? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I remember when she was in Angels many, many years ago. She was a nurse in Angels many, 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 many. Mm-hmm. And she was in Coronation Street as well.
She's been in a lot of things.
In Coronation Street, and this is going back a long time, she was the character that Ray Langton went off with when he cheated on Deirdre. That's Ray Langton. Ray Langton is Tracy Barlow's father.
Oh, I didn't know that. Don't watch Corrie. Sorry.
That's a long time
ago. I think every actor at one point in their lives has been on Coronation Street.
Or Casualty.
Anyway, so there's a shot of a TARDIS interior, which you quite clearly can see that the roundels are just sort of flaps of probably paper, because you can see little bits of framework actually through the roundels. Mm.
And that's because when they put it into storage, it got water damaged.
Yeah.
And they were barely able to fix it enough so that the
It's a sheet.
Yeah. they were barely able to fix the console enough so that it would move up and down. But that's about it. And they got the lights in it.
Yeah.
But other than that, this was the last time we saw the interior of the TARDIS.
Yes.
It was very atmospheric. In the classic era, I liked it.
Mm. I liked it, but it was kind of
working.
Sad.
Is that why the lights are off?
Yeah. Usually it's overlit.
So the Doctor and Ace go for a little wander around. Something draws them there, doesn't it?
It's the signal from Excalibur.
Ah, that's it, yeah. And quickly meet the bloke from Zedcar. I can't remember his name.
Wormsley.
Who recently died.
Yes, yeah.
The actor, though. So.
James Ellis?
Yes.
That's the one.
Let's see.
It is James Ellis. You don't have to go and look it up.
Yes,
yes. Okay, yeah. He died in March.
Yeah.
March
8th. Love the special effects when the knight general or the leader of the knights comes
Knight commander
when he comes up from the crater and is obviously on a cherry picker or something. Just
very much like the Dalek.
Yes.
Master.
Yes.
I couldn't quite figure out what the point was in having them enter the atmosphere and crash.
Nor can I. But I hadn't really considered it.
I don't think
it.
It's ever explained.
I think that was kind of...
Just so they could do another explosion.
Yes, that's left over from earlier drafts of the script.
Okay. So, yeah, the Doctor meets up with Brigadier Bambera, and then after sort of poo-pooing him a little bit, the foreign soldier, whatever his name is, sort of said, oh, well, the unit used to have a advisor called the Doctor.
The Doctor, yeah.
Changes appearance, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, she believes it straight away.
That's
it, Zbigniew, yeah. She believes it all straight away, thanks, fortunately.
Well, I love the fact that I love the fact that the Doctor pulls Liz Shaw's ID card out of his hat.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even look like her. We'll think like a scientist or something, isn't
well,
it? Yeah.
The whole business of putting it in the hat, I mean, it was scripted to have him pull out the ID cards, but the hat business was made up on the spot.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that all the gubbins he hands to Ace as he's fiddling around, there's his spoons there.
Well, the thing is, though, that's because obviously his third series, Sylvester McCoy clearly understood his characterization of the Doctor, so he was able to put these little quirks.
Oh, this is also the first appearance of his dark coat.
Yes, which I much prefer.
Because the character is becoming darker.
So the Brigadier plants his tree in the garden, then there's a phone call. And
unit
blah,
trying
blah,
to get
blah,
him
blah,
back,
blah,
aren't
blah,
they?
Yeah.
The Doctor's around. Yes. We need you.
That's the thing that swings it for him. And then they arrive at that hotel with a blind lady and a bloke that used to be in, not heart, but was it?
I didn't notice she was reading Braille because I thought it was kind of obvious she was blind from the way she was. And,
they were a bit sort of thinking the audience was stupid sort of in that particular...
That was the problem. That's what happened and alienated a lot of fans, and that's what ultimately led to it sort of being, well, they're not really paying it much attention anymore, let's get rid of it, which was obviously travesty. But they were alienating us by thinking we were stupid, unfortunately, that we wouldn't get it. That our imagination
wasn't also on a very what night of the week was it on?
I think
they
moved
it.
Yeah, they moved it around a lot towards the end. You couldn't keep up with it, and that's why you couldn't follow a story, because it was just like, well, we missed it last week because it was on Monday, and that's a school night. You can't stay up to watch it, and that sort of thing. And then they moved the times to try and get the school kids back, and they didn't know where they were sort of projecting it towards the grown-ups or the kids at one point. So it really was getting a bit hit and miss. And I think my dad just went, well, never mind.
She used to be in Carry On films, you know.
Yeah. She was in Carry On films.
She was in Carry On, the Tarzan one.
Carry On
Up the Jungle.
And Carry On at the Convenience.
Terry Scott was Tarzan in it. And she was very, very nice looking when she was young. not too bad there, but I mean, when she was young, she was extremely nice looking.
I like the fact in the transcript it says the eternally young.
Really?
Yeah, underneath it.
Mm. That's too big a gulp of tea. Yeah, there's lots of
so
bangs and shooting.
So why is Anselin the only one who's fighting against the other knights?
I don't know. Why is Anselin the only one who's fighting against the other... Oh, is it not a joke?
Anselin, by the way, Anselin is the feminine form of Lancelot.
Okay.
And, of course, Winifred is Guinevere.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
There you are.
I hope you guys caught that.
Well, you wouldn't have got that, because you would never have looked at Winifred as a... So you imagine Guinevere in your mind of being sort of very ladylike and, you know, with a sort of hat, pointed hat, or flowing dude.
And the kind of women that they fell for then, I found it hard to accept that he was falling for her.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that he'd be interested in a sort of a woman.
Well, I think he liked being dominated, I think that was it. I think that's what it was.
In modern days,
he sort of suddenly he realised that actually I quite like being on the receiving end of this.
Anyway, a helicopter or a chopper lands in Brigadier's garden with.
I just love the fact the bit when Ace later comes out of the lake with the sword. It's brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, yes. But the thing is, what I didn't like was the Ace's new friend that she seemed to have known for a blooming God knows how long, even though she had met her 5 years ago.
You meet in a pub, you end up pouring your heart out, don't you?
She's one of the worst actresses in Doctor Who ever.
What? Yeah. I thought she was fine.
No, she was awful.
She was awful.
Terrible acting, I'm afraid. That distracted my attention from it a little bit, because I was getting irritated by her.
She was dressed looking like a Red Army girl, you know?
Yeah, she's just terrible. Not a very good actress at all.
I'll disagree with you on that one.
Okay, she's Kirby disagreeing with me.
Oh, she needed.
All right, let's have a vote then. What do you think? Was she any good, Debbie?
I thought she was a good assistant for the episode.
No, I mean, acting wise.
Well, they were.
Yeah, she wasn't asked to do very much.
Yeah, that's it. She's sort of just having to react to everybody. That's what
we
I
don't
thought.
Have
yeah.
to vote on our opinions.
No, I just like to know that I'm right.
I'm looking forward to the Doctor actually becoming Merlin. That would be a cool episode.
Yeah, I'd like them to. Peter Capaldi would be good. Trouble is, we already know the story, don't we?
I know, but what a great way to reintroduce it to kids, because they don't learn it anymore.
So, but which Doctor was Merlin?
Exactly.
That's a very interesting question. Well, to a degree, but what I will say, go on.
The thing is it has it happened yet? By the point where we are now, or is it
who knows
going to happen after?
Well,
after
you would have thought it should have happened before
Capaldi.
We get the new installation of regeneration.
They better hurry up before Jean Marsh dies.
Yes. She's amazing.
Oh, yes.
Tempting fate a bit there. Poor old Jean. She looked quite good at Upstairs Dancers last year, so I think hopefully she's got a few years left in her. She doesn't look too different now than she did when she was in this, to be honest with you. She's aged very well. There's a lot of shouting by the Doctor in this that, unfortunately...
Mordred does lots of evil, trying to be evil laughter. maniacal.
Overacting.
See, it was sort of Shakespearean, isn't it, in some ways. Especially the dialogue that the
Asta.
Yes.
When the archaeologist, an archaeologist, the Doctor Who, imagine that. Anyway, when the archaeologist was trying to make the phone call from the hotel, did you notice that that's supposed to be a futuristic phone, even though it looks like a old candlestick phone?
Yes.
He's giving it voice instructions.
That's it, yeah. I think it's just the idea of being an antique style.
Well, that will happen. We will get phones that are retro that actually operate like, you know. Because I remember in the 80s, they used to do those, you know, those little hang-up phones, you know, the ones, the long stalk ones.
Yeah.
But they actually lift a flap up and they had little press buttons on them instead of the dial. And things like that, so no doubt.
Well, we all have voice-operated phones. Well, most of us. Mine isn't, but most of us have smartphones where you can say, call whoever. And
You're talking about Siri.
Yeah, mine has the capability, but I don't use it. Siri.
No, I don't use it very much. She doesn't seem to understand.
Unfortunately, Alicia had to use it the other day because she had a map on her phone.
Mine isn't even a smartphone.
Well, she had a thing last night. She was panicking. She woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning because she was grizzling. because she couldn't get into her phone because she'd opened up an app because this button on the top here broke.
Oh.
Well, it was very bad condition. She couldn't close it down. So she opened up this app where you can actually just operate the phone via this little thing. But that had crashed. So she couldn't actually operate the phone at all. And she was going...
the battery out.
Well, you can't pull the battery out. It's built into the phone. But anyway, I was just saying, you have to let the battery run down, and then it rebooted. It was fine.
Oh, if it's a decent phone, it's one of those stupid Apple things.
But she had to, the only way she could use it was through Siri. So hang on. Who is Kirby Bartlett Sloan?
What?
What?
Asking Siri.
Okay, here's contact information for Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
There you go.
Wow, wow, wow.
It's found you.
Shall we say... it says Kirby Bartlett Sloan, and then it says... I'm not going to say that bit because it's probably going to be quite accurate. And it's... Oh, my goodness. It's quite accurate, Kirby.
It's brought you a dress.
My God, it is you.
Yeah. Facebook page, email address. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Facebook Messenger. You got a Facebook Messenger?
No secrets.
Shoe size.
No, I know what shoe size about you. You got a URL... three URLs. Goodness me, I didn't expect that to happen. Isn't Siri clever?
What, you thought Siri was going to go, I'm sorry.
I don't know who he is.
Lord. What she said there.
I have always deliberately kept a lot of my information out there. I have no secrets.
No. I figure that if you write it on, you know, online, in your online, then it's public. That's the thing, you know.
Yes. That's really interesting. It said, job was and everything. Oh, very fascinating.
What?
It does.
Well, it's probably
which
Facebook.
One? Is it
American supermodel Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
is it my current one or my previous?
I don't know.
Well, where's it say? Where's it say I work?
You want me to say?
Just put it away now.
Put it away. Oh, for goodness sake! Right, hang on. What was the question I asked it?
Who is Kirby Bartlett Sloan?
Let's try that again. Who is Kirby Bartlett Sloan?
Okay, here's contact information for Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Programmer analyst.
Where?
The USA Inc.
Oh, so it's absolutely up to date.
There you go.
Well, if you put that information on Facebook, then it probably has it.
Well, maybe so.
I noticed I hadn't updated Google the other day, and it still has my Tennessee... job.
And if Lynn's listeners have just joined the show, I wonder why that's relevant to what we're talking about.
Well, yes, it is.
It is, yeah, there you go.
Siri's got much better now.
We didn't divert, we just...
No. But it is much better now than it was when it first they first had it. So it's
anyway, where were we?
Doctor Who. We're in the bit where Anson and just sort Winifred of starting to flirt with Winifred.
Duke it out behind the Doctor and Chu.
Yeah, their first little perverted little... battle that they
had. Mordred's now summoning more gang.
Yeah, that's right.
But in the extras, in the making of, what's the actress's name who plays the Brigadier? She said that she and the actor were just kind of making it up, making up that fight. They didn't have any instructions whatsoever.
The weird thing is, I got the feeling it was similar to the relationship between Leela and Andred, was it, that she went off with in the...
I can't remember what episode, though.
It was the Invasion of Time.
Yeah.
Invasion of Time.
Yeah. Yeah, the similar sort of relationship. It wasn't very believable, even though they were sort of... It was planned out that way. It just didn't quite work for me that they really would... sort of hit it off like
that. It worked for me better watching it my seventh, eighth, ninth time watching the story. And I guess because it's what happens. So I'm used to it, but it works for me now.
It certainly doesn't go along the opposites attract line, does it? Meanwhile, say the Brigadier and...
he's headed off to London for a bit.
Yeah, he's with his little woman pilot, again going down the slight sexist route. As if it's an unusual thing to have a woman pilot,
Flight Lieutenant Lavelle.
Yes, who was very nice, but she did sort of hold her ground really, really well.
Master, did you notice that they went out of their way to show that UNIT was a multinational organization?
Yeah, yes. Actually, I think it's quite good. I like.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. Mordred maniacal laughter.
Yeah, and then the Doctor goes a bit weird
with the scabbard.
Yeah, when he holds a scabbard, because he can detect some sort of time thingy going on with it.
Yeah, I find it odd that at first he jumps back from it because it's so hot, but then he eventually ends up holding it.
Well, no, that's explained by the blind woman. It changes. It's always changing.
It's hot. Now it's cold.
So anyway, at some point the helicopter crashes.
They're still in it.
Oh, not in it. Sorry, no, there's a point in which they find that the entrance to the not tomb or whatever
it's called. Dig hole here.
Yeah, the doctor's alleged writing that said dig hole here. And he needs a little hole so Ace knows it's her turn to do what she normally does. Mm-hmm.
Master,
yes.
Master. Yes. Big error. Big error.
All right.
As Ace and the doctor are going down into the concrete tube thing. And they're saying concrete. They shouldn't have had concrete in 600 AD. Well, duh, yes, they should have. Yes,
the Germans invented it. The Germans? The Romans invented it. Where did the Germans from?
The Germans invented it.
The Germans invented concrete.
They were using concrete back in 300 BC.
Yeah, so but they weren't mechanically extruding tubular things like that.
They were making things like the Pantheon.
Mm.
Mm. Never mind. Anyway, but they did use piping at some point. Anyway, can I move on? What's happening to the thing? It's not moving now. That's right, because Morgaine has arrived.
Who's birds?
It's Ferrari's bird. She has
always,
an aviary.
Always me. I sit next to an open window, so you're hearing the morning
and
birds.
When I'm on Skype, you've got the sparrows outside my window.
And when I'm on Skype, you've got the dogs.
I usually can't hear them because I'm down in the basement and my connection is worse.
Yeah. Anyway, so Morgaine's arrived,
I think,
and
your
she
wife should
very
let you
quickly.
Out a bit more.
Yeah, she very quickly shoots down the helicopter with her finger.
I love the fact they poke a hole into the concrete, and a load of dust falls down. They still go, "Yeah, all right, well, it's safe. We'll walk down there."
Yeah.
We are underwater. Don't worry.
So, but fortunately, the Brigadier and what's her name again? That character, I can't remember her name.
Lavelle,
that's right. They survived the crash.
She's hurt a ligament, and he's quite sexist about that.
Yes.
Oh dear, never mind, dear. You wait here, dear. Yeah.
I do like the bit where Morgaine and Brigadier meet up, and she's sort of a mutual admiration society occurs.
Yes.
No, it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that they get through the whole honour thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're holding a ceremony. So
what I can't understand though is the fact that she doesn't appear to have that as much for the rest of the soldiers.
No, exactly. Yes, yeah. But
in some ways, I think that was a tribute to the fact that they had appeared together way back with the first doctor.
Yes, yes, indeed.
As brother and sister.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's in the Dalek master plan.
Yes.
So the Doctor and Ace end up going into the sort of inner sanctum where the
organically grown spaceship.
Yeah,
I love that. You can't do that. Yes, you can. Advanced technology can do that.
Which is the Reggie, how the TARDIS is growing, in some ways.
Yes, I wonder if that influenced the whole.
And then this weird sort of snake is released, which actually is not too bad a graphic for the time.
I like the fact that Ace pulls the sword. Just sort of, whatever.
It does a lot of...
lots of R's rolling as well.
And then the bit where she nearly dies appears on screen, which, of course, at least they had, even though they nearly killed her, they had some good footage they could use. She didn't die, so we can use the footage. Oh, really, make it more...
I don't like it. I'm actually really scared in here.
Yeah.
This isn't right.
Yeah. You have the idea of putting all that water in that tank with that glass being too thin. I do not know. But there's a point, actually. There's no crack there. Yeah. But I think in episode 2, you do actually see the crack. Oh, the crack in space and time.
They hadn't tested it with her additional weight in there.
Mm.
Yeah, so when she pushed on it, when she pounded against the glass, and that's when it happened. The entire... raw footage of that whole section is an extra on the DVD.
Yeah, because you hear McCoy going, "Get her out!"
And theoretically, they use that in a training video at the BBC. I tried to find it on YouTube, couldn't find it. I'm surprised it has not, the training video, I'm surprised it hasn't leaked.
Well, what got me is when McCoy was actually for real life shouting, "Get her out," it was... bloody sight more convincing than his shouting when he was the Doctor. Mm. So
yeah,
but I'd probably say that because he was more known at the time as a mime and sort of comedy performer than an actor. Since then, he's learned how to act properly. Actually, so gradually, there it goes, the cracks.
Yeah, the
cracks. Gradually, it gets better, you know, as time goes on.
But he does get to use a lot of his comedy in this story.
He's much, I mean, it's like his first series, due to poor writing, I think, had a big impact on his, you know, the way he feels the Doctor to me. But this series was his best. And it would have probably got better and better. Mm. You know, it's just a shame.
So, do we want to ask him or Andrew about any of this in a few days' time?
Yes.
If
I mean,
the
awkward thing is we've had Andrew Cartmell on the show twice. I'd probably try and steer clear myself of asking him too many questions because I've already asked him other questions. But what if we end up with him for half an hour instead of?
Then we will wing it.
We'll just wing it. We'll have to wing it. We always wing it when we have guests on the show. Daphne was winged for 4 hours when she was on the show. And that worked really, really well. We won't ask anybody to sing.
And I was winged when you
Louise. Yeah, you didn't actually speak to her.
Because it didn't hurt that I asked her about her daughter, and then she went on for a good 20 minutes.
Stuff like that, though. That was really good. Yes. I like that. But as far as, we're going to have Matthew there, I would imagine, aren't we? And Matthew's, you know, he's a natural conversation.
Given Matthew's reputation, Matthew will probably skip out.
We'll see what happens. We've got Debbie here.
But Matthew is a very trained interviewer, so
he'll keep it going.
Anyway, right. So you're just pointing at the screen.
Well, I'm just pointing out when she came out of the lake, he goes, it's Excalibur, and she actually does call him Shakespeare because of obviously the way they've been talking.
A lot of acisms. There's Tinhead.
Tinhead.
There's a couple of other sort of acism insults that are so... Okay. Sorry, the Brigadier just stalled the 2CV.
There is a bit further back when the Brigadier and Morgana are facing off politely to each other. Mm. When she sends her knights forward, one of them slips. Mm. The Night Commander slips as he's going past her.
Did you ever notice that in the marching of the soldiers, that there's a couple in there that have blue jeans on?
Yes, I saw that, yes.
I didn't see that. Well spotted, Mary, I didn't see that at all.
Do you know, it was my husband who pointed it out. He came walking in as I was watching. He went, they're wearing jeans. So he walked back out again. That was it.
their pants did not arrive. Yeah.
Anyway, Morgaine kills poor old... I forgot she got killed.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Yeah, didn't want her to get
She gives up all the information about UNIT first and then...
quietly, my child. And then she just kills him.
And then she cures the
blindness. Yeah, she cures. It's just weird, isn't it?
It's giving and taking. It's like you're sort of meant to be left a little bit. Well, what would happen if she did take over our world? You know, how much of a benevolent or would she be?
I think in a way it was quite good because it showed that she didn't really have much care for anything. She was quite happy to willy nilly just. I'll kill you or give you your sight back, you know, I didn't really, just to show that I can do what I like, really. I think it wasn't out of context with the character.
Bambera is pretty annoyed that she's attracted to Anselin as well. She's like, peed off at herself for liking him.
I think, going back to Mordrin, what's her character's name again?
Morgaine,
that's it, sorry. The bit that I didn't quite wash with me. It's not in this episode. Later on, when the Doctor persuades her that going to nuclear war is not the way to battle, and she agrees so quickly without even really thinking about it.
Because it's not honourable.
No, that's it.
Oh, I can understand why she had that decision, but you know, it's just the way it happened so quickly, and you know, she was able to make that decision so quickly. I don't know.
I didn't get the feeling that it was that quickly.
She was mulling it
for a while, long enough for that clock to go down to one.
Mm, maybe.
And the scripted, what was originally scripted, I haven't seen that script, but apparently they went on quite a bit longer and they had to cut it because it was just so long and getting...
Well, bearing in mind the fact they did quite a lot of, when they did the recaps of beginning episodes, they actually did quite a long recap. They could have actually kept it in instead of having such a long recap.
Yeah, and all the padding they did at the end of the story.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's a lovely scene in which the Brigadier, Bambera Brigadier, sort of stands up in the 2CV and starts shooting with a machine gun, which is really, really cool. And Who is it that says magnificent?
Yeah, one of the knights. I think it's the knight commander or one of them. Yeah. No, it's just one of the knights. Magnificent. They're all crushing on there,
yes.
aren't they?
Yeah.
I had to look up that car last night because it was so odd looking. I was thinking it's a Volkswagen.
Citroen 2CV.
Yeah, I know.
Very
I know.
Iconic,
you guys,
though.
You guys, yes, iconic to you guys.
It's more iconic to French people than it is to us,
or
No, it's a Citroën.
It's a Citroën. It's a French car.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd never seen one.
They're so
cute. I'd never noticed one before.
Yeah, they got
I
had a brother-in-law that had a Citroën. It was really fun.
It's sort of the Citroën's version of the Beetle.
It has that hydraulic thing that when you turn the car sinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can get out of it easily. And...
I don't know if the Susie had that.
My father had one when I was very young. Theoretically, we had one. I've been told about it, but I was so young that I don't remember it.
I think they're cute.
I'll tell you what I will say about this episode. I was talking about the way it's shot, and it was filmed yesterday. It doesn't seem like a classic Doctor Who story, the way that it's virtually all shot on location.
Yeah.
Well, it's set in the future.
No, it's really, really, really good.
You.
It was shot yesterday.
It was, yes.
I'd say the filming, the framing, the direction on it, and the lighting and everything is really, really good.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yes, if brilliantly it were for shot, a couple of the dodgy special effects.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it could be a modern one, yeah.
Exactly.
Some of them just are, as you say, just are so aged and very much of their time. Like this is, late 80s. But this one you just didn't get that feeling from it.
You get the start of the manipulative Doctor, don't you? When he says about about silver bullets.
And
and that's a little bit of a foreboding.
And maybe you should be evacuated. Heavy look.
Yeah. The curse of Fenric and stuff like that. So.
Is that a new power that the Doctor has?
Definitely developing it in this one.
This is what they were, I think, the Cartmore master plan, wasn't it? This is the plan that he had for the next few series of Doctor Who, which was a good idea, I think, to bring in more mystery into his character. And certainly the big finished version of the seventh Doctor, I wish Matthew was here, I would have said sixth, just to annoy him.
Bessie!
And Bessie appears, and that's quite a charming
moment.
Did you
notice my comment last night on Facebook? I had always thought that Bessie looked odd because of the long bonnet on it. I was thinking, they couldn't find the original or something. And no, I researched it. It is the same Bessie. They put a new engine in it around the time of, before Five Doctor. Oh, before Green Death. That's right.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So it's still, it's just the same one, basically.
Yes, it's the very same vehicle.
Yeah, so it's a scene in which Bambera stops Anselm from sort of bringing his sword down.
Huzzahing his way through a battle.
He calls her My Lady, and she says, if you call me My Lady again, I'll break your nose or something like that.
Break your nose, yeah.
And this is one of the scenes just after that where she
demonstrates. I love her blue piece of badges on Ace's jacket as well. I've got one. I've got a green one. For suggesting that cows needed more dog poo bins.
No, that's still the case.
Yes, it is still the case, but I got a badge for it.
Well, you need to take a picture of your badge and put it on the Facebook page.
She's lost it. I might check it.
I probably have. I've moved house so many times. It's somewhere. Mm. Storage, probably.
Right, so...
I think that...
Oh, my sister nicked it.
Blue Peter badges in that are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So, meanwhile, the dog... The Doctor has drawn a short circle.
I'm sure we've discussed it before, but those are real earned Blue Peter badges by Sophie.
Yep.
They are indeed, right. So the Doctor gives Ace some chalk. She draws a circle on the
very
floor
circle,
of the, what is it? Is it the pub?
The pub, yeah, the hotel.
And her,
I'd never be able to draw
something.
No,
I couldn't draw it like that.
Unfortunately,
the
spotlight operator couldn't quite keep the light exactly. Well, what they should have done is they should have drawn the circle with the chalk and then they'd just done a cut shot to the spotlight and just have raised the chalk and just had the spotlight there, because it does look really silly where you can see the chalk line sort of not quite right. Yes. You know, within the light.
What they should have done is put the spotlight out there and drawn the circle using the spotlight as a guide.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
What
they
see, Kirby?
They did.
maybe. Anyway, so this is where they do their drama school stuff in relation to. You know, that they're being sort of...
Yeah, more games. And...
They're trying to sort of make them fight each other within the circle and play
what
with their
What did you call
minds,
me?
But... Shut up. yeah, but this is where I wasn't quite sure about the acting of...
Why do you keep saying stupid things?
Quiet. I wasn't quite sure about the acting of this girl
True,
here.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was a bit hit and miss.
What's her name? Ling Tai.
Yeah. I bet she's probably a better actress now than she was then. Because
I've
probably,
seen her in
probably
something
a first
recently.
Job,
I can't remember what I've seen her in recently.
So
I'm
many actors.
Sure I did.
There's so many actors I've seen in their first or second jobs that might have been Doctor Who, and they were a bit ropey, and they are really, really good. And I mean, look at Freema Agyeman. Before she was in Doctor Who, she was in Crossroads, and I've seen some clips of her when she was Crossroads. She was awful.
She was in a Shredded Wheat advert as well.
Yeah, so many things. And
well, she was in the Carrie Diaries over here just recently, and she was pretty awful in that.
Was she?
Oh dear!
Oh yeah,
and she was in one of the kids' programs that my daughter likes watching. She was in that supposedly a magic cafe owner.
Hmm.
Old Jack's boat. That's it.
I think
she was better in Doctor Who.
No, she was good in Doctor Who. I don't know. Maybe it's to do with the characters that suit the actors. So I don't know. But anyway, so there's a bit where now you see there she's standing on the edge of this chalk circle, right? And she's like hanging out. Technically, she is actually
she's
outside.
Out of the circle,
even
yeah,
though
yeah.
her foot's within the circle, she is actually outside of it. So that was a bit silly, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, who made you in charge?
Me.
I did. The rules of chalk
it
circle.
Is, yeah. the rules of chalk circles.
So this is when we come up to the bit where the doctor said, "Hang on, I've got a quote here. It's written very annoying, this stupid shouty voice that he doesn't do very well. I wonder if it's on this page. Get out of here! Look at my main notes. I'm very protective towards my notes. She's trying to find
like
out.
I'm going
she's
to
trying
cheat.
To. No, I'm just trying. To, she's trying to find out if I've got enough notes here to get me through the quiz, so she might delete some of the questions. I'm not having that.
I can't delete them. They're written there.
You might decide to dodge them.
No, not at all. Change the order.
I forgot what I was looking for now.
What does the doctor say in his shouty voice? That's not very good.
So it must be towards the end of it.
Incidental music.
Oh, well, yeah, I didn't like the music in this.
Oh, do I need to look up incidental music real fast?
No, I didn't like the incidental music.
No,
in
I was
story.
Just saying while we're waiting, you know, we need something like doo doo doo.
Yeah, well, no, I've
got it.
No, I can always play Left Bank 2, is it? I will. Any notes that aren't used in this particular episode, I will go through later on. Because I've taken time writing them down. I really think we should use them. Nope, I can't remember. After all that, I didn't write it down, but I thought I did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just... no, it's just... there shall be no fighting here or something like that. Or no battle here, I think, isn't it? Something like that.
I've got the transcript. I'll have a look.
Oh, good grief. Now it's going to take ages. You looking
no,
for
you carry
script.
On. I will have
so
a
that's basically what he shouts, but he shouts it in a very, very annoying
Stop,
way.
I command yes, it.
Like
there will be no battle
megaphone.
Here.
Hey, almost got it word to word. No, it's, there will be no battle here.
You've no faith in my looking up techniques. Yeah.
And then the Destroyer of Worlds appears. He looks like he's been holding his breath for a while. So he's gone a bit blue.
Oh, that was the one bit that really sort of upset me a bit, was just his voice through the plastic.
Yeah,
and they didn't dub him over with anything a bit more sinister.
And the way his teeth,
speaking through a
drooling teeth,
thing,
when they unsort of chain him, his teeth were quite funny. And
yeah,
also,
the drooling was bad, but other than that, the mask was really good.
Oh, yeah, it's
was,
a good mask,
yeah,
but
yeah.
What I'm thinking, bearing in mind later on in this series, is the Curse of Fenric, where the monster in that is blue too. Mm. They seem to be stuck in a sort of making blue monsters.
It's
because of the Smurfs. There was a lot of Smurfs going on in the 1980s.
Well, I noticed he gets quite a hot flash. He starts ripping everything off.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the reasons that particular actor was hired. He had this parlor trick, he called it, where he could expand his chest.
Oh.
And he did that at a party. Mm-hmm. And that was why he was hired.
Well, did John Nathan Turner see this particular fight?
Yes.
There you go. So that's probably the same one that the same party you saw.
Look at how
hard. Oh, no, that's in the future. I was thinking about Colin Baker. Look at what?
The sword that the doctor's holding to Mordred's throat is really pressing in, but obviously is not sharp.
It's sort of looking a bit angry and...
The doctor trying not to kill him.
Looking a little bit silly for me, but that looks not too bad with that sort of slightly annoyed look that the doctor gives him.
Yes.
But then the brigadier steps up with a gun.
Yes, good old brigadier.
And,
Wear this man. It's
a bit of a parody of the Brigadier, this particular version of the Brigadier for me, but it's still charming.
And speaking of Brigadiers, Brigadier Bambera picks up a broadsword, which I'm sure was part of her military training.
Of course it was. Oh, there, talking about jeans. Yeah, this one's got a pair of leggings on. Jeans, there's somebody with a set of leggings running down in bank. Is that a woman? Hang on, let's have a look at this.
Well, what really?
We're just watching the fight.
There's a pair of leggings. There's a woman with some leggings.
The guy in jeans in the background.
Yeah, go on, sorry, yes.
Master? One thing that has always bothered me about stage armor and TV armor is the chainmail, which is cloth chainmail.
Yes.
Like all of this.
Yeah.
This
chain,
you cannot move that fluidly.
No.
That's why they've gone for realism now in a lot of things they're doing. But because by the end of it, you can see the actors are looking really fed up and really tired of it, because that's exactly what they would have done, not just... pegged it down
over and over again. Yeah, sorry. That was got to be Stuart Fell, isn't it? The fact that when the explosion goes off, somebody does a somersault. I know Stuart Fell may have been still working for Doctor Who.
Wee across the screen.
Stuart Fell was no longer working for Doctor Who by this point.
But I bet he had something to do with it, because there's lots of fighting in there. He had something to do with the behind the scenes battle sequences, I suppose. because a lot more fighting in this particular story than we'd had in Doctor Who, hand-to-hand
drama.
Fighting.
She's doing all right with a sword as well.
Which is a little bit tap rather than, but it's...
Parry,
they're actors,
thrust,
aren't they?
Thrust.
They're not trained, what do they do it when they pretend to battle?
Reenactment,
that's it. They're not reenactors, are they? So, now this little, there's a bit there with this little globe thing. See the little globe thing that she pads away like that? This must have been, it's a similar sort of effect they used in Sharda, the redoing of Sharda. So they'd obviously had, because that was done before this one, wasn't it? They'd had some experience in, so we've worked out how to do that, so we'll use that for the battlefield scene where we're, yes, you're calling my name then?
Who?
No, he wasn't, you. I heard. No.
That's good mind.
There's one scene where just before Excalibur is taken away from
Morgaine.
From Morgaine. Yeah. Where she's turns and she accidentally hits Excalibur against one of those light holders. It's kind of funny.
I like the fact they keep those in.
I will agree with you about the mask. It is really, really magnificent. It's just, nowadays...
It's a shame the voice threw it.
I think they did a really good job, because the eyes were quite good as well, the way the eyes move and everything. They didn't look very lifelike, as now they would do, because with CGI. But for the time, they did really look as lifelike as you can get. And
that's very much... what's that film with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry in it? Legend.
Yeah. Yeah. Legend.
The mask reminded me very much of that.
Yeah, I suppose it was, So the doctor turns up in the midst of...
I like the fact that the pub blows out through the door very neatly. The explosion is just through the door and then no windows blow out. And when you go into the pub, everything's blown out.
Yeah, and the table just happens to land on top of the girls and a bit of dust. And that's when he touches her nose, isn't he, with his finger.
He actually does that, I think, two or three times in this story.
Does he? Mm.
Yeah.
So, Morgaine then turns up, and so it's a funny scene, actually, not quite yet.
The spinning into the vortex thing.
After the battle, when Bambera and Anselin are sort of surveying the dead, and like that, I think Bambera is sort of not impressed with Anselin's attitude.
Yeah.
And like you said...
I love the way the doctor goes through such... special technique to get through the time vortex.
Yes.
The Brigadier and Ace just kind of run through it.
Yeah, that's another of my quotes was now high drama is very similar to comedy. It's all a matter of timing.
I thought about using that one before. Yeah, so like you say, there's a bit of a blurred out of focus glitter ball in some ways. That's basically what it appears to be, probably because it is. Yes, right. And then, that's right, because Morgaine's arrived in the domain of the...
questions out for ages. Could have been cheating.
Oh, darn. That was a bit silly,
missed
wasn't it?
Missed opportunity.
That's right, because the doctor comes in, doesn't he, and goads her into freeing him. And looks as if he's sort of made a mistake when he hasn't. That's a sort of typical of the what they're trying to do with the Seventh Doctor at this stage. Sort of make it look like he's making mistakes when he knows exactly what he's doing. And this is a bit he tears his chain mail thing apart and he starts drooling. And there's a bit where Ace grabs, what is that? Was that the bullets?
Yeah.
He grabs a box of the bullets.
Bullets
and
yeah.
The Doctor goes, because he can't shout. Can't shout. Yeah, and they go and right around.
He does look annoyed most of this episode, the Doctor.
He does, yeah. But he does look suitably annoyed, and it, I'm not saying not knocking him, because he's really, really good at this stage. I was starting to really like McCoy's Doctor at this particular point.
Well, because before this, it was the greatest show on earth, wasn't it? Galaxy, that's what I meant, yeah. And, I watched that the other day.
We watched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know.
We watched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know, but I watched it again the other day, because my daughter wanted to have a look, and I was like, are you sure?
Yes.
She's not afraid of clowns or anything, so it was like, okay, fine. Come anyway, watch this one.
Over that. I liked the show.
The daughter gets knocked out. So the Brigadier goes and saves the day by shooting. That's interesting, the explosion, but the castle sort of
stays the same.
I mean, in the Pertwee era, that would have just got obliterated.
Well, it's a listed building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can make a model of it. Anyway, so yeah, it's really good. That's Brig.
And Brig, of
you're
course
supposed to die in bed.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I did paraphrase that one.
Stubborn, pig-headed numbskull.
That's my second quote. I love that.
And of course, the Brigadier was originally scripted to die.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't kill him much, I should say. Yeah, they would have found that a bit too depressing. But
And the later reference by the 11th Doctor, and he apparently did die in bed.
Yes, indeed. So that had to be used, really, didn't it? But therefore, with 8 minutes left, that was essentially the end of the story. Mm. So, you know, they could have actually...
Oh, I like the last scene.
It's okay. But 8 minutes to go. But what I will say is they could have really chopped it down to three for this story because of, like you say, the padding and the fact they did a lot
The original treatment
recaps.
by Aronovitch, is that his name?
Yes.
Was for a three-episode story.
I will pre-warn you, if you're going to be talking to Andrew Cartmell, Ben Aronovitch is his favourite Doctor Who writer.
Mm-hmm.
So give him lots of praise, Ben Aronovitch. And I will do anyway, because as that's essentially the end of the story, because...
I'll just be fangirling in the corner the whole time.
Yeah. The Doctor persuades Morgaine not to stop the countdown of the nuclear doodahs, and...
Everybody all about goes honor, back. That's what I like. It's all about honour, and then it's a very sexist scene.
Very cheesy at the end. That's basically essentially it. Right, I'm going to talk about Battlefield. Apparently, Kirby said it's one of the least liked stories.
Yes,
least watched.
Well, that's surprising because I think it's one of the most charming stories.
Yeah.
There's some certainly slightly stupid elements on it, but it's certainly one of my favourite McCoy ones, at least. Yeah. And I think it.
Yeah. It 3.1 million viewers.
Yeah, it's a shame. It was actually very, very good. Very, very well written. Very well directed and shot. Some of it was a bit padded out, but that's Doctor Who. I get that a lot. Especially in 70s
Master.
Doctor Who. Lots of padding, don't you?
Master. I'm just bringing this up because the credits were rolling. One of the credits was for an assistant floor manager, Matthew Purvis, who happened to be the son of Peter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, you found something that Debbie didn't know.
No.
You should have had that quiz question. So, yes, on the whole, it's a really, really good story, this. I don't mind watching that a few times because it's fun. And apart from the... I'm not going to say what else. The sexism and stuff, but it's still quite good. Right. It's a top part of its time. Yes, yeah, indeed. Yeah. So, yes, thumbs up for the Battlefield. I think it was really, really good. And we're going to go for Kirby.
I love this one.
All right, then.
I kept trying to encourage Fred to watch it. It took me days and days and days until I could get her to sit down to watch it. And I finally got her to watch it Saturday evening, and she really enjoyed it too.
Good.
I knew she would. I was wondering if you were watching it with her.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Okay, Debbie.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Watched it twice in less than 24 hours. Yeah, I had to do the quiz, but I didn't mind. It wasn't one of those where I had to go search for questions. Mm. And it was just absolutely brilliant. Lots of fun. One of my favourite ever stories is Mort d'Arthur, and so it was great to have that reference all the way through. And archaeology, which is always a good thing to fall back on for Doctor Who.
You know,
season 26 is one of my absolute favourites. So
it was so much fun, and yes, it's the dark coat era of McCoy as well. And
this is another aspect I like that they'd never done in Doctor Who before, and that's a future doctor's involvement in a story. They've never gone down that road before, and I really like that aspect as well.
I
think they've done that before, just not quite as obvious.
Yeah, it wasn't as obvious in some of the earlier stories, but this was great because it got, when I watched it the first
time. Good morning, Clark.
I can remember going, so has he done it before, Dad? And my dad was like, well, no, but he will.
Mm.
He will do it. Or, he'll do it in a future version of himself. And it got me really, really thinking about the whole Doctor Who thing. And that's about this time when I started getting all the books and the videos and things like that. Absolutely loved it. I was really hooked on this brilliant story.
Watching it this time through, I was thinking Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes.
I've got to remind myself to go back and do this.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget to do this. Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely loved this story. Fantastic. Really enjoyed it. I will watch it again.
Yes, I'm not surprised. No. Here we go then. Mary.
that's confidence. That's confidence.
Well, of the McCoy era, this is my favorite one.
There you go.
Because it's really good. You know, with the Arthur legend somewhat faithfully followed and all, and the Doctor being able to do his comedy as well, you know, as the more serious stuff. Yeah, I found this to be, and I've seen all the McCoy ones, because before I went to Chicago TARDIS year before last, he was the guest and I wanted to, you know about him, so I watched all of his stories. So this stands out for me as my favorite of the McCoy era. But, you know, as always, there's
better
always...
better than Remembrance?
Remembrance of the Daleks, you're saying?
Yeah,
I still like this better.
Yeah, I think I prefer this to Remembrance, to be honest with you. Although Remembrance is very good.
And there's always things, of course, that, you know, that are kind of silly and don't make sense. You know, like the modern formed concrete tunnel going into the organic ship. And the nasty green snake inside that...
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, the worst it seems it can do to you is to bump into you really hard, you know?
Across the room. Yeah. Back up in seconds later. Yeah,
knock me over.
Don't knock me. It's just there to annoy you and distract you whilst the serious business of being drowned is going on.
Yeah. And I wasn't fond of the fact that the story was over about halfway through the fourth episode, so we had all this crazy padding. A very unlikely gathering of four women who are going to go off and spend the day together. I can't imagine that they would have two things to say to one another. You know, and then the men are left to, I'll cook and I'll do this and I'll do that. So yeah, that was a little silly, but other than that, no, I really liked it.
Cool.
Good.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's a 100% record then for the Battlefield.
Absolutely, A1.
Yes. Right. Yes. Well, next week there's a break because we've got the Conquest Cerberus event. So what are we doing the week after that then, Kirby?
I haven't put anything together yet.
Well, I think you better get around to it.
Is this our last one?
Yes.
Only for a couple of weeks.
Last one of the list, but not
last one.
Listeners, don't worry. We're not going.
Now, as I recall, for something to talk about, if we, you know, don't get the guests on like we would like to.
Our top five.
I remember
five
that
stuff,
our
yeah.
our topics, yeah, are the top five things.
Yeah. I haven't done all my top fives yet because Kirby hasn't reminded me what I've got to do. I've also got it written.
And
out.
I
written
will. Down. I will come up. I'll fire up the randomizer this evening and cool.
Good.
Come up with
because we've got 2 weeks to watch something, which is helps me out intensely.
So you're doing the questions then, unless yeah, I get
well,
24-hour notice.
Return, yeah, emergency
I have to watch. I've got to watch something next week because I've been asked to guest on another podcast.
Ooh. Oh, I see. Moonlighting, are we?
What are you watching?
I will smell you.
Shakespeare Code.
Okay.
The podcast, if I can plug them, it's a funny, pretty funny podcast. It's called Playing Doctor.
Okay.
And they're somewhat rude, but they're, it's a fun podcast.
Rude Remind in what it. Way? Cursing or just being cheeky?
Being cheeky.
Fair enough.
Right. You must remind me of there are
well with
people
a with a title
group,
like
I
that.
I will forget otherwise.
Sorry.
Playing with a title like
playing doctor.
Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's time for some feedback.
Phew.
That might be happening somehow. All
what
right.
have we got?
Looks like Andy and Dawn.
Okay.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes. It's Andy and Lee here. It's 11:30 on Friday night, the 20th of June.
Andy.
I'm sitting in my conservatory. I love you, Dawn's gone to bed because she went out with some mates, supposed to come home at about 7 o'clock. Finally rolled about 10 o'clock to pick it up. And yes, she's a little bit, shall we say, socially confused. So my lovely Mexican meal, she had a bit of it, but that was it. But anyway, it's Friday night.
Saturday.
I've been shirking. I've been working Saturday. At home. I have the insurance book around to look at my ceiling. Yeah, you really are fascinated by this trivia that I might have missed my life, really.
I'd like to
last
know.
Last week, that, you were talking about motivating champions. In fact, Nigel Mansell, the only man who was both a Formula One world champion and NASCAR world champion, not NASCAR, IndyCar champion IndyCar. Simultaneously, was actually a neighbour of mine in Birmingham in the late 80s. So there you go, that's one of my claims to fame.
Asleep,
I won't go into any further. Anyway, Battlefield, Sam watched Battlefield, doing the ironing as usual, because that's the way I do it. Now, if you think about it, this is almost a steampunk. If it made it now, it would be, because what you've got is an alternative society, an alternative universe, where you've got a mixture of modern and ancient. You've got the ancient uniforms, the battle, the armour, and yet you've got modern, well, relatively modern weapons. I mean, not like sort of basically pea shooters, pistol
Ooh,
shooters.
Careful what you're saying.
They weren't that good, were they? But yeah, you could call it steampunk. Anyway, what really struck me about this was it continues the what's known as the unit dating controversy. You know, when
yes.
is it set? Now, when the bridge is rung up and it's Fiona, but that's Fiona's first wife. Oh, God, blimey. By the way, I've got a glass of barefoot wine, so I should mention that. Doris, his second wife, answered the phone. He said it's Secretary General. And the brig says, I don't care if it's the King. Which is interesting, because obviously that means it's not set in present day. It's set in the future.
Mm-hmm. Long distance future.
Cars, all the cars have modern number plate for that era. So if that's set in the future, everyone drives antique cars. Either that or they've a long number plate system going, just revamped it. Also, when the brig docks in a pub and he buys a glass of water, a glass of lemonade, and he does for £5, well, I mean, that's quite obvious. I mean, anyone comes to London, I mean, I live in London, I work in London, I pay London prices for my drink, and yes, I mean, if I paid £5 for a drink for myself in a lovely dorm, blimey, I'm ecstatic. It's more like 10 quid these days. Mm. But the £5 coin, mm-hmm. Now it's interesting, the £5 coin is actually legal tender these days. There are certain commemorative coins of that value that one can
that
use. But I think what it means, this was set in the near future, which was the way that the unit stories of the Pertwee era always so set. They were set slightly ahead. I think people said they were set in the late 1980s, when they made it 1970s. No, there's no reference to dates. The only one you've got in Mordred and Dead was 77 to 83. There's the only stories you have a unit where there's actually reference to a physical date that you actually can understand and reflect upon. So I think it keeps it going that way. And you've got Angela Bruce playing the Brigadier with her Shane. Yeah, right, okay, we're going to get for that. Now,
yeah.
Did the Brig actually have his own moustache, or was it a fake moustache again? I do know that Nick Corney actually tried to grow his own moustache, but it just never looked quite right. And all the times I've seen in conventions, he's going to take a sip.
Yes.
He's always been either clean-shaven or had a full set, you know, a full beard and everything like that. So, what is a false moustache? The Doctor is Merlin. Well, this preempts the 11th Doctor in River Song, doesn't it? You know, where she says, I hate it because it's always him. You know, I wonder, did Moffat remember that and play back to that? But you can actually see it, the Doctor as Merlin, you know, a mythical figure who's someone who is, he's the puppet master. He's pulling all the strings behind the scenes. And it just fits so well with the ethos of what the Doctor does. He's the arch manipulator. You know, Ace, you know, accused him of this in Ghostlight. Rawley says this himself as well. You know, you control people, manipulate people. And it's very true. The Doctor does get a lot of other people's dirty work. I mean, we saw a classic example here where he's taken on Mordred. Now, I'll step aside, it's Mordred. God, what a wimp. You know, he was trying to buy more game. He was quite happy to sacrifice him. You know, someone like that who's big and butch and macho, but, my God. He's so bloody wet. It's like a wet weekend in Scarborough, isn't he? And they want to get rid of him. Anyway, the Doctor will not kill him, but then it comes to Brig, sticks a pistol in his ear, and, you know, that's the Brig. The Brig was direct action. And also we have the end of episode 2, the manic Mordred. Oh, God, that's pathetic. I'm sorry. I just want to get up and slap him, you know. Interesting thing is, when it's the way they treated the war dead of the second during the Great War as well. That scene in the cemetery. It's what you show there. There's a battle weary, a battle hardened society, but they understand the importance of respecting dead from both sides and respecting people who die in battle, who fight in battle, who live for battle, but my screen just died then, beg your pardon. But to understand the relevance of battle and war and respect each other for us. So he was an interesting character, you know. Like I said, we just slapped him. Lovely moment when they brought Bessie back. And who's 7 the number plate? Interesting number plate there as well. And also a great... Yeah, it's the rapport between Anselm and Angela Bruce, the other Brigadier, bringing her bearer. You know, you have to wonder, did they or didn't they? You know, I'm the best knight in the world. Well, that could be taken in several ways as well. Morgan herself, I mean, Dream Marsh, and obviously, as we know, you know, she's been there before, Sarah Kingdom. But she was delightfully sinister. And she got the manic cackle off well, which Mordred didn't do. When she's facing Ace and the Chinese girl, whose name completely slips my mind, in the Chalk Circle.
Sure.
Good point, that, you know, because that's his genuine mysticism. Could have worked. But the way, you know, her cackle was well suited. She plays it very, very well. And the Destroyer as well, Destroyer steeped in blood. I thought, yeah, I saw the first one, oh God, that's dreadful. But then you saw it, and actually, you could see what he was. He was some sort of alien who'd been trapped, but he was believable. And I think Jeff Waddell has said, yes, he's one of the best alien Destroyer as well. There's some great quotes in this line, in this story. This, I mean, no doubt you'd have pulled him all to be first. I'm willing to bet somebody's got with him. I'm a little tired about hearing about your mother. That's a great line, that is. And, I mean, that really was a wonderful line. And then when the Doctor talks about playing chess, now chess, obviously, that throws it forward to Curse of Ferret playing chess, but he's playing poker. Got an ace up his sleeve. Because he really did have an ace up his sleeve, didn't he? Because that's the unpredictability of Ace. You never quite know what you're going to do, because she's... She's quite mentally unbalanced.
Yes,
she's
yes.
She should be in some sort of institution.
Not so, necessarily.
There's a few of the bits and pieces. I like the bit where he introduces Liz Shaw. And in fact, that's the way we had three companions come back in the story, didn't we? We had the Brig coming back, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jean Marsh. You got Sarah King coming back. Anyway, you had Liz Shaw coming back, because Liz Shaw was being introduced as Ace. So, how many people spotted that as well? But anyway, all in all, it was a story that perhaps could have been better than it was. I mean, it was disappointing. The music I found dreadful. I found really overbearing.
I agree.
That's Kev McCulloch.
Yeah,
I really think he's one of the worst musical people I've ever had in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The story itself as well, there was a good story there fighting to get out, and it nearly made it. I know we're coming towards the dark end of Seventh Doctor, and there were better stories. I mean, that Ghostlight, I think, is one of those classic survival again. This nearly made it. It can always be remembered for the last appearance of the Brig in Doctor Who proper.
Mm-hmm.
We all ignored Dimension of Time. Also appeared in Sarah Jane, and he's been in some of the... not New Adventures, but Big Finish. And, of course, he was referenced by Matt Smith in one of the later stories. So this was the end of the Brigadier. The Brigadier, for me... Growing up, Adam, same age as you, but for me, the Brig was always my uncle, Winko, and the RAF. Not physically too dissimilar. So Nick Courtney, your good health, sir. Live long and prosper. And on that note, I'll say chips and gravy.
Yes, thank you, Andy.
Can't have chips without moist.
Well, can have moist. I have curry sauce, like I said on the sauce. Facebook page. It would be the ideal accompaniment for chips for me. Gravy. Yes, Kirby.
There's something about... Oh, I'm echoing.
Sorry, I'll turn you off.
Hang on.
There's something about Andy's recordings. When you play them back, I'm having to listen to them like that. It's hard for me to understand.
Yes. Can I tell you
although
what it is?
I can understand Ian's just fine.
Mm-hmm. It records them at quite a low volume, I'm afraid. I can't do anything about that. But that's higher than it used to be, so we'll live with it.
Yes.
Okay. Right, then. Now, talking to Jeff Waddle... Because he pronounced his name wrong, like I used to many years ago. Jeff Waddle says, well, it's certainly not the best two, but it's a cracking wee story. Lots of memorable scenes, good location filming, and very quotable.
Yes.
Funny you should say that. Isn't it?
Yes.
Always good to see the breakback. The Destroyer is certainly one of the best realised monsters in Classic Who, though he doesn't destroy too much. Oh, sorry, doesn't destroy much.
No.
The thing that lets it down... is that there is too much going on. Does it want to be a unit story, a brigadier story, an alternative timeline story, or a Dennis Wheatley pastiche? Give me too much rather than not enough.
Give me too much rather than not enough.
Yes, I should have got you to read this one. Any day of the week.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Jeff. You can guess where the last bit of feedback's coming from. Ready?
Yes. Hello, 20 Wing Map Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The Daemons by Guy Leopold. Archaeological dig in the English countryside disturbs an ancient menace. There is a mysterious disturbance around the area. Unit arrive in a helicopter, which is later destroyed. The Doctor arrives in Bessie. Battlefield by Ben Aronovich. Ditto. It's two brigadiers. Angela Bruce, who played Brigadier Winifred Bambira, was born in Leeds. She's appeared in most long-running British TV programmes, including Red Dwarf, where she played a female Dave Lister. The console room is in semi-darkness because the BBC had thrown away the TARDIS wall scene.
Kirby, well done.
The scene when the helicopter blows up used a mock-up. I noticed the mock-up had no registration number. Winifred Bambira will probably be the answer to a question in the quiz. Sophie Eldred was in danger during the water tank scene as the tank burst open. It was an enjoyable romp, and it was nice to have Jean Marsh back.
Yes.
Oh.
It is 28.6 centigrade, 83 Fahrenheit here now. Of course, it is midwinter in Australia. I hope the snow is not too deep. Bye for now.
Yes, thank you, Ian. Now, the funny thing is you should play Ten Pole Tudor, because when I first saw Peter Capaldi, I thought he was the lead singer of Ten Pole Tudor.
Did you?
Yes, okay. I thought he'd like gone into acting.
He's definitely been in a few things because he was on the Crystal Maze for a while.
Well, Eddie Tenpole.
Ed Tudor Pole.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, yes. And he was on he presented the Crystal Maze after Richard O'Brien, and he was also in Quills as a Nutter.
Yes, but there's a certain similarity between the two.
Peptic, sorry, not Nutter.
All right, welcoming new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. If I can find the page. For some reason, that's eBay. Troubles I've had with
welcome eBay.
The troubles I've had with eBay last week. Good grief! Could I tell some stories? I might do actually if I find some time. Right. Oh, that's not. Oh, it's Facebook. I was looking for, isn't it? Right. So let's see who we can find on the welcoming four new.
Four.
Yeah. Ashley Hughes, who was the groom at the wedding.
Yes. Yeah.
On Saturday. Whose best man, the end of his speech were, and I have to paraphrase because I never know the words exactly right, were...
But through your marriage, there must be no regrets, no tears, no anxieties. Just go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine. The very best of luck to both of you in your futures.
Yeah, so I thought it was,
you spotted it. I like the fact you told the bride she didn't know.
Well, we're talking about Doctor Who because the groom had a TARDIS wallet. I just thought it was the best man, and then the groom revealed his kinship. So that was good. So that's Ashley Hughes. Irem Bas... Bas, whatever that says.
Basoglu? Basoglu? Yes. Sorry if we've pronounced wrong,
Irem. Wes Simpson. Irem? And Amy LaRocque Decline. That's a great name. That's a great name. So welcome all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which now has 362 members, even though it's starting to tail off a bit. There's still new members to the group. Somebody else.
There was a request.
I've lost it. Oh, no.
Did we? We've been having a few, I'd say, people trying to sneak in that aren't quite on the up and up.
Yeah, this Daniel Betram Carey, which I haven't accepted this because I couldn't find any Doctor Who references on his page, so I could on air actually reject it. What?
No, sorry, I thought it
that's
was
football.
Yeah, it's football. Mm. Yeah.
Scunthorpe United. Good lord.
Someone's bottom.
Yeah, somebody's sitting up in the air. Yeah, I can't actually find any references to Doctor Who on it. Where's the TV page? Apps and Games, Lights, Groups. Interesting to see if there's any Doctor Who groups in there. So he's very, very close to being kicked out of the reckoning. If there's no
Star Wars.
I suppose that's a
sci-fi fandom,
thing.
British Science Fiction. So I think he might be an entry.
We'll allow him.
Let him in.
Right, so hang on, so we can add him to the welcome. Oh, I've lost him. Where's he gone?
I'm back up.
I've got to go
Daniel
back
Bertram Carey.
Yes.
Welcome.
If I can add you. Right, he's in.
There he's in.
That was 363 members. Debbie, it's over to you.
Oh, is it? Mm. I'm so ready. and now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
We won't. Mary will.
Oh, I doubt it. I lose every week.
Never know.
You don't. You've won.
You won. Didn't you win last week?
I say my notes start really big writing and then they go smaller and smaller.
Who won last week?
Me,
oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Silly question.
Okay, right. Well, this week we're going to go Kirby, Mary, Adam. What, for saying silly question?
No, you said who won.
Who won last week? No. Well, it depends if there's a tie at the end.
No, is
that's
that a point?
Who won .co.uk?
Very good.
Very good.
Sure, I don't have to do any more references to that. No, don't cover that one with that just one line. Right, go on then.
Okay.
Yes.
Kirby. Oh. Kirby first. What archaeological council does Peter Walmsley try to put a call to?
I don't remember. I'm lost. Lost.
Anybody
lost.
Else?
Oh, I'm
Is it the Carberry Trust?
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say that.
It's all over the side of his car.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's written down here. I just couldn't get to the notes quickly.
Well done, Mary. Mary, this question's for you.
All right.
What did Ace damage in the school art department?
She tossed her thing over the shoulder. I think it hit, went into the ceramics class. Is that from the other story?
I know.
Bit more.
I know.
There's an actual, she's
hot?
Very precise about what
somebody's
exactly
actual
it is.
Somebody's actual hot?
No.
I know.
What?
Okay, go on then, Adam.
Well, they thought it was plasticine, so she damaged Class 1C's pottery pick collection.
Prize-winning pottery pig collection.
Yes.
Yep. 1 point to Adam. Sorry, Mary. Adam, your question? What battle did Anselin flee from, according to Mordred?
I might know.
Don't know that one.
Mary?
Is it Celadon?
No.
No, okay.
Kirby?
I don't know.
The field at Camlin.
Camlin.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't write that one down.
Well, I thought last week I was probably a bit nice, so I'm being a bit mean.
You were nicer last week. We don't like you.
They don't like me this week now.
Yes.
Okay, Kirby.
Master?
How does the Doctor open the door?
Which door?
The door in the ship, to the ship. When he goes through with Ace.
I know.
I know.
I said it first.
Oh, you didn't. I did. No, you didn't. I said it.
I'm confused. Go ahead.
Well, it's the ship when they're trying to work out how to open the door in the teeth.
Yes.
Is he winking?
Go ahead. Just someone.
Okay,
someone
who was first?
Me.
Okay, what is it?
Doesn't he get Ace to blow it up?
No.
Oh.
Mary.
It's voice recognition.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, open up, it's me. Yes.
Oh, I've got that written down.
That's how he opens the door.
Oh, no, I've got that written down too. That's a quote.
Yeah, okay. And he was going to get it before me.
I know, sorry. Mary.
Yes.
What is Morgaine's full title?
Oh.
She gives it to the general, to the brigadier.
Yeah,
general,
I know. oh, shoot. Let me see. She's Morgaine Le Fay, the Sun Killer, Dominator of the 13 Worlds, and Battle Queen of the... Is it Syrax?
Syrax. Yes, yeah. You got it. Okay. You got it. There you go. Lovely. Okay, Adam?
I knew there was a reason why I wrote it down and backed it up and got it again.
Yes. There you go. Adam, what does Ace say when she first sees Bessie?
Oh, dear.
No.
No, pass. Sorry,
Kirby?
Does it run on petrol or steam?
That's it.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. I didn't write that down. Why didn't I write it down?
Okay, Kirby, this is for you.
Master.
When can Lavelle, the unit pilot, speak Czechoslovakian?
When she's drunk.
That's right. See, I'm not totally nasty this week. Just writing the scores down.
I didn't know that.
No, I would have forgotten that.
I forgot that.
Mary,
yes.
How does Morgaine get the tab?
Oh, how does she get the tab? I don't remember.
Okay, anyone?
When she cures the one person of blindness.
That's right.
Huh. Yeah.
Whatever that character's name was.
Elizabeth Rawlinson.
Well, that's obviously not one of the questions, then.
Yeah, apparently it's not a question.
Should have been. Adam.
Yes?
What does the Brigadier's wife think the potted tree would look great next to?
I know.
I've forgotten.
Okay, Kirby?
The azaleas.
That's
right. Oh, I did write it down. I didn't know what it was in reference to.
This is Georgia. We have azaleas everywhere.
Yes.
I was on the wrong blimmin' page. Look, azalea bed.
It's the biggest writing. Okay, end of round one. Adam, you've got 1 point.
Mm.
Mary, 4. And Kirby, 5.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen?
Well, you answered questions.
The usual way.
The usual way. Right, round two. Kirby.
Master.
Where did Morgaine say she was with Arthur?
I don't know.
Anyone?
I'm just checking the notes.
Is that the Celadon?
That's it, Mary. Yeah, that's the one.
I knew it had been in there somewhere.
Okay, this one's for Mary. How does Anselin describe the TARDIS?
That's a good one.
No, I don't remember. Didn't write that
I
down.
I remember it was cool, but I don't remember exactly how it
was. It's like the box of
how it was. Yeah. It was like it's large. Oh, darn.
Adam was closest there, so I think you get the point. It's the ship of time, and he says, does it not deceive the senses being larger within than out?
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
We'll get a point.
You got a point.
I didn't know he went in there.
No, he refers to it when he has his helmet taken off, when he's crashed through the pub. He refers that he knows about it. So he's justifying how he knows him. Okay. Adam.
Yes.
What colour gem flashes in the pommel of Excalibur?
It's a sort of ruby red sort of colour.
That's right. Yeah, that'll do. Okay, Kirby.
Master.
Why does Morgaine tell Mordred to leave?
You're just getting things that I can't answer.
I'm sorry. It's when they're in the graveyard. If that's any help. That's the only clue you're getting.
Because he has no respect for the...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Adam got that one. It's the respect for the dead.
Hmm.
No respect. He just fought on ground without any respect for
the dead. Can I make a reference to Mordred undead?
No.
Okay, Mary. I've got loads of questions this week. I hope you're not bored.
No.
How much are the drinks?
£5.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Mary, how much are the drinks?
I'm doing a Robert.
No, you've got those.
Yeah. No, give them to Mary.
I've given them to Mary.
Yes,
there
that was
you go.
Rather silly of me, wasn't it?
Okay, where am I?
Robert communicating with me.
Yes, that's got the Robert.
But she would have got that anyway, wouldn't you, Mary? Without my help.
Yes,
that's what I said.
Yes, I would have too.
Well, this is your question, Adam.
No, is it? £5. No, sorry.
What is Brigadier Winifred Bambera shouting for before being attacked by Mordred? She's calling out to the sergeant for something. This is towards the end. That's it. That's what
towards the end. Yeah.
Okay,
stop more troops.
I know. No. Anyone else?
No.
Coffee.
No, I haven't got that one. That was definitely not on my mind.
Sergeant, where's the coffee?
Yeah.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What does the doctor give Ace to protect herself, Shu, and Excalibur?
The chalk.
That's right. Lovely.
If his head is hesitating, I would have said, I know.
You give me ones which are... I had no idea, and then you give me easy ones.
Oh, stop complaining.
Just they came out in the line. The yeah, that's it. Mary.
Yes?
What does the Brigadier say after unwittingly insulting Winifred and Ace?
Mm.
Whoa. I don't know.
Anyone?
No.
Oh dear, women. Not really my field.
Oh, that's a good line.
Adam.
Yes.
How long has Wormsley been working on the dig site?
I know.
I don't know what I've made a note of that. Then again, maybe I didn't. I'll have to make a guess then. I thought I said I know. Dig site, 5 years.
Nope, Kirby.
10 years.
Yep, there you go. Right, so that's the end of round two. It's a nice long quiz today. Adam, you've got 4. Mary, you've got 7. And Kirby has got 8.
And there's him moaning about, you have not been able to answer the questions this week.
Yeah, and the one who gripes the most is the one in the lead, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just that I keep saying, I don't know. How's this happen?
Yes, but you're collecting points by knowing questions that
other people's questions.
That's how it works. You're collecting a point every time you do that.
Who would have thought by this time you'd understand how the quiz works? I mean, how long has this quiz been running for? We've managed to alienate lots of previous presenters on the show but through this quiz.
Well, this is the last round.
That means I've got no chance.
Well, you might. Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What does Winifred tell Anselin is an honourable tradition?
I don't know.
Anyone?
No.
And she's shouting at him. She does that. Anyone? Okay. Tactical withdrawal.
No, I've got that one down.
Oh, yes, that's right. Which he doesn't understand.
No, he doesn't. Because
he says, you're running away.
And then it's...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, then Mordred says,
run away!
Yes. Mary, this one's for you.
Okay.
How far from Lake Vortigern does the TARDIS materialise?
Oh, my Lord. I have no idea.
Lands right next to a sign.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that Lake Vortigern sign. I know. Yeah. That Lake Vortigern sign.
Who said I know
first? But I don't.
I didn't say it at all.
I think I know.
Okay, Kirby, go on.
3 kilometres.
No. It's
4 kilometres.
It lands right next to the sign. Okay.
Well, that's a good question, though, because, you know, we forget that it landed next to that sign, which gave the distance. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, I'm using that.
Yeah. I loved the scene where... Bambera is driving past when she hears to watch out for a police telephone box. And she goes, what?
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, this is an easy one. Who wrote the incidental music?
Kef McRubbish-Culloch.
There we go, lovely.
Lovely,
you got a point.
A point.
2 points, sorry. Hang on, there. Lovely. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What century does Wormsley date the scabbard to be from?
I know.
I don't know.
I know.
Okay, Adam.
Eighth century
well
AD.
Well done, yeah. Okay. Mary.
Yes.
What colour is the ribbon in Shu's plait?
I know.
The ribbon in what?
Shu, the Chinese actress. Her hair.
Oh, in her hat.
Hair.
Kind of a magenta red.
Red, lovely.
Well, yeah, it's red, like everything else.
Yeah. Pantone 224.
No, I just didn't know. Okay. And Adam?
Yes.
It's the last question. Hmm. What is the Clark's Law that the Doctor references? Because there are a few of them. Which one?
Oh, I know. I know that one.
I know that one too, but you can have it.
High drama is very similar to comedy. No. It's all a matter of time. No, I don't know. No, I'm no, guessing.
No. Okay, who's having that one? Mary?
Me.
Okay.
Mary can't have it.
Isn't Clark's Law the anything that can't be explained by other means is explained by magic?
Yeah, it's yeah. Any,
basically, yeah.
Yeah, any advanced form of technology is indistinguishable from magic. Our, you've got that.
Magic is the just sat over there.
It's indistinguishable, this, down there.
You can smell him though when he lets one go.
Master.
Yes.
Master.
Yes.
It's that's Clark as in Arthur C. Clark.
Oh, yes. I see. Clark. Come on, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, we were quick. Yeah. Okay, right. It's the free for all.
Right. Oh, good lord.
Yeah,
oh.
I know. I thought I'd do one anyway. What does Winifred call Shu's car?
Oh, darn! What? Ah.
I know what I've got it written down as. The
we know what it
is,
but she refers to it as something when she gets given it to drive.
Sherman tank?
No.
No, it's something like a cracker box or something like that.
Mm-mm. Mary, any?
No.
Okay.
No idea.
The deck chair.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the end of the quiz. Well, it's quite tight, actually. Adam, your last, unfortunately, was
prize.
7. Kirby, second with 8. And Mary, you got 10. You won.
Did I actually win?
Yes, you won. Yeah.
More notes I've ever written down.
The most right. notes, and I've not referenced any of them.
Right, these are the notes I had written
comment,
down.
One comment that, yes? that was in there that I thought for sure would end up in the quiz was, what does Ace yell as she goes through the time vortex?
Yes.
Anybody know?
No.
No.
Geronimo. Right.
Geronimo.
2 points, 2 points. Yeah, these are my notes. Azalea Bed, Lieutenant Richards, some Salamander 6-0.
Yes, no, but I thought that was being shouted way too much to be a question.
O'Shane,
yeah.
Carberry Trust, Peter Walmsley.
Yeah, one of my spare questions was, what does she say when she's heard that, when she sees the hitchhikers?
Minor technical difficulty. That was the Doctor when he was in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeti, Autons, Dalek, Cybermen, and Silurians.
Yes, that was another spare question.
Oh, yeah, that was another.
Zbigniew.
Oh, is Mary just gone off? Oh,
no, she's still there.
No,
funny then.
When the Doctor turns up, all hell breaks loose.
Yes, yeah.
A quote from UNIT. £5 piece, the Brigadier Bambera, oh, shame. Peter...
No, I did
who found the scabbard
driver.
In the 8th century AD. Blind lady was called Elizabeth. The fireplace had the year 1684 above it.
Yes, that was another spare question.
That
that was a spare question.
Plasticine, of course, that was the class 1C.
I sort
pottery,
of did yeah. loads of them and then just sort of threw them all together because I had loads about Morgaine. And I just realised they were just a whole line about Morgaine, so I threw them around.
There was
a
product placement of Pepsi.
Yes.
Parasol. Vortican's Lake, which was where the...
Yep.
The
there was another product placement that Jeff noted.
Which was?
What was it? I'm looking for it. Hang on.
Okay, I'll carry on then. Oh, the 2CV, of course. Baden and Mighty Arts. What was that? I can't remember what that was all about now. The Reckoning, which is often mentioned in things like this. The helicopter pilot was called Ravel. Anselin, his full name
Lavelle.
Was...
Lavelle. Huh? It was Lavelle, not
okay,
Ravel.
Anselin's full name was Anselin A.P. Gwalchmai, Knight General of the Britons. So I thought that was going to be a question. So that's why a particular
that was,
note
that
of
was nearly
work
a question.
No,
I was trying to think. Well, how does Adam think, and then how would
no,
I
thank
ask
you.
The question?
So that's why.
I
did, The doctor wrote dig hole here on the stone. There's a 60-second.
Do I get to be next? Do I get to be next reading off all of my notes?
Yeah.
Well, these are interesting notes.
Then, read off my notes.
These and are then Kirby can read off
can
all
I
of
read these mine?
No, these are interesting notes. Because these are reference to the story. The 60-second charge, of course. Was,
so are mine. Yes.
No, these are more interesting.
No. Everybody, if you're reading that
whole
list. Oh,
no, it's a speech drunk when, a speech yes. check when drunk. I had that written down. Oh, God.
I think he's just beaten himself up a bit. Yeah. We'll just left him. Yeah.
Looks fishy. These are the quotes I nearly did for the show. Looks
loser's
fishy.
Remorse. Loser's
open up, it's me. What's the other quote I had?
Yeah,
now
this one.
Now I'm now I'm vexed. Now that's the other quote I thought about doing. Get off my world. That was another one. Anyway, so that's it for the rather unsuccessful quiz this week. Thank
it
you, Debbie, for
nice.
Doing a very good job with the question.
Yeah.
It's very
yes,
unsuccessful.
I thought it was a good quiz.
It just was a good quiz. Just it's just a rubbish, rubbish for me.
And then we had to hear all of your notes.
Oh, I shall get my revenge.
Yeah, what was the product placement? Yeah, that's when, it. I'm going to lose
we see,
now.
When we see the glasses falling off of the shelf.
Yeah.
You can see a bottle of Beefeater gin.
No.
Captain Morgan, I guess that's rum. Yes. And Jeff noted something called Bell's.
Bell's, yes, the Bell's whiskey, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's your standard fare in a yokel pub. Really,
yes, indeed
it
is.
Yeah. Or no. Hotel pub, really. Yeah.
So therefore,
I'm just so surprised that with that modern reference, nobody
yes.
had Geronimo.
No, well, I've,
done,
no,
yes.
no,
good
no,
point.
Yes. You should do the questions.
I should have. I think I was on the way out of the house when that particular bit came up because I didn't even write that down in my notes, maybe because it was so blatantly obvious. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right, news. There's not a lot of it. A lot
John
of it.
Barrowman's
a lot
been
of
over
it.
In Australia a lot. I follow him on Facebook, and he's been doing a lot of cons over there, and
a lot of cons over there. It sounds like they should be arresting him.
Yeah.
But no, he's obviously an excellent guest at events and making himself even more popular.
That was moving my bag.
Now, apparently, there's going to be a sequel to the Five-ish Doctors reboot.
So that's official? I thought that was just a rumour.
It's
Paul McGann
a rumour,
has reported that a sequel to last year's online Red Button anniversary special, The Five-ish Doctors Reboot, has entered production.
Hey!
Really?
Yeah, the actor who appeared briefly in the original was speaking at an event for Cambridge Union Society, which also saw Reboot co-star Sylvester McCoy speak back in
Never
May. Sorry.
Photos and more details on talk, including McGann's thoughts on a female doctor, can be found through Cambridge News.
Well, it's referring to there's been a lot of talk actually on a few of the forums and things about the idea of a female doctor. I thought it might be fun in one, next time he regenerates, to just pause briefly on a female one going, no, this isn't right, and then maybe going over to...
He'll have to use up a regeneration, surely.
No, just as he's going through it, you know, just suddenly just flash up with someone, you know, maybe quite famous.
If Romana can do it,
yeah exactly.
Yeah, maybe in the mid...
in the mid of a regeneration, you sort of go, my goodness me, was that a female? Is he going to be female? No, he's not, it's someone else. Yeah, like that. That would be
great. Maybe McCoy will talk more about this sequel... This coming weekend.
I hope so.
Yeah.
What's Joanna Lumley look like nowadays?
Still pretty good.
Yeah. I was actually thinking of Jennifer Saunders would make quite a good doctor.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Unfortunately,
she is goofy enough.
I've seen Rick Mayall passed away since we spoke about it. And
but
he
it would be
made,
hard
he
to take her seriously.
Doctor.
It would be, yes. Yeah.
Mm. That's true.
No, but Rick Mayall would have been a good doctor.
He would
have
been fantastic. Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is. That's it for news. Pardon?
Nursey died as well from Blackadder.
Did she? I didn't know
she
that.
She died yesterday, I think, yeah.
Who?
Blackadder. The lady who played Nursey. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name.
Oh,
but from Blackadder, she died as well, so she went to join Flashheart.
Yeah. A shame.
Right.
Yes, go on. That's the end for news, because there's only talks about the Doctor Adventures gifts, which look a bit naff.
Pokemon goodies.
We could have a quick look at whowon.co.uk just to see if there's anything coming up.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Whowon.co.uk.
That's not how you spell it.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
No, I thought I put something completely different.
You put
there.
Who number. There you go.
Right, there you go. Right. So, Lovney, had any further news on the Doctor Who tour? I expect the tickets will be sold out by the time I find out when they're going on sale.
Well, after all that begging and pleading last week.
Yeah. Okay. Right, here we go. Let's see if it works
this time. Let's see if it works now. Safari can't find the server.
That's a bit worrying. Oh, I spelled it right too. Oh no, I put three O's in it.
Oon.co.uk.
You could have told me.
I didn't notice.
That's because I was thinking of feedback in the middle of it.
Oon.co.uk. There we go.
We're on that. It's the same stuff as last week.
They're still nice.
There's a DWM special on the TARDIS, which I'm surprised Kirby hasn't gone in for.
What? I'm typing something. What?
Doctor Who magazine special, the TARDIS, price $9.99.
Remember, we get the if it was just released there, it's going to be another month and a half until we see it.
Okay. Well, sorry about that. Big Finish production maybe. Abandoned, starring Tom Baker and Louise Jameson. And Nigel Fairs, by the way. That's available to buy on CD from whoone.co.uk. Available, of course, from other sources as well. Tomato and barbecue beef. anyway, yeah, so that's it, really. Lots and lots of things. I could list a load of things if I went through the whole site, but if listeners themselves type in on their URL doodah thingy, what's this thing called?
What, a toolbar?
Yeah, www.whoone. I am doing it word letter for letter. Stop interrupting. www.whoone.co.uk. They will find lots of stuff. Yes?
It is unnecessary to use www.
I know it is, but I'm reading it out letter for letter. All right. Lavazzi do scarves and loads of other stuff, actually, that not collected
really?
Doctor Who. So I would advise you, if you want to get some nice fashion-y products, and apparently the Dalek scarf is much sought after by certain members of the female species.
And yes, I know I've shown it to my husband, and
when's
we've got an anniversary coming. It's Christmas, my birthday, is so now it's...
when's your anniversary?
October 13th.
Okay, October the 13th, but anybody would like to donate to Debbie a Lavazzi Dalek scarf, nowhere to send it to.
I'll make him buy it for me.
Mary'd like one too, by the way. So that's really it then.
I'm actually after a full set of the DVDs from my husband this Christmas, seeing as I bought him Star Wars Lego last year.
Right, yeah, I can tell you my eBay story now.
Okay, what's your eBay story?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I put one of my lenses on eBay.
Do we need
eBay.
Sympathy music?
Well, I put one of my lenses on sale, and it was a 10-day auction. But when I listed it, be quiet. When I listed it, it didn't come up with the buy it now option or the reserve option. Or, well, the only thing it came up with, I was able to upload the photo. Anyway, I thought, I'll put it on there anyway. Starting at 99p. 9 days passed. I just got an email from somebody who said, can we have a look at a picture, please? I thought, what's going on? There's a picture on there. I'll put a picture on there. And when I looked at it, there wasn't a picture on there. So I went to eBay chat to speak to them with, 4 hours left on the auction, saying, well, this is rather hampered its sale. It's only gone up to 20 quid and haven't been able to show a picture. Is there any way you can cancel your auction? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, we can't do that. But what I suggest you to do is delete all the bids and then delete the item. So I deleted all the bids, but I couldn't delete the item because it was less than 5 hours left of the auction. Didn't tell me that bit until after I deleted all the bids. So then they said, well, what you need to do is manually delete every bid that comes in until the auction shuts down. Which I did. So I had to sit in front of my computer for 3 hours, delete, delete. And then with the last minute, about 20 bids all came in to try and buy it for 99p. And of course, it eventually went for £20, something like that. So I contacted the winner of the auction saying, sorry, this is not actually for sale. I've been advised to take it off, blah, 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 by eBay. The woman who in question said I was trying to con her out of trying to get more money out. She goes, she just said, whack it onto the postage. Whack it up so it comes up to 50 quid. I'm not selling 50 quid. At least I was hoping to get for it. It was 80 quid. She then accused me of trying to get more money out of her. And I said, it's not for sale.
Music.
I said, it's not for sale. It was eBay were trying to cancel it, couldn't. I've tried to cancel it. The only way through it was this way, and she wouldn't accept it. Fortunately, I had a transcript of the conversation I had with eBay. Sent the transcript to her. She wasn't having it yet. Then contacted eBay herself and sent me a transcript of a conversation with eBay saying that I'd broken the rules. Even though eBay told me that I won't break. Because I actually asked eBay, I said, well, surely if I delete all these bids and do this, the buyer, whoever wins it, will accuse me of breaking the rules of eBay. Oh no, you'll be fine because you've spoken to us. So they've got one colleague calling her one bit. That's more. And the other one calling her another thing.
No,
it's the most beautiful person ever.
It's open!
Oh, who locked it? It's not open!
Hey!
Shut up!
That was timing. I hope Adam doesn't think I'm being rude.
I think I've gone deaf.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi. Shut up, you stupid dog.
She goes from awesome. Pictures of being ugly
to some earrings. Right, what part of the story did I get up to? Right.
Weren't we discussing what we're doing next week?
No, I'm still doing my eBay story. This went on for hours. I was passing back and forth, talking to eBay via this chat thing, which takes time to get through before you start speaking to them. And she was doing that and basically accusing me of being a criminal and stuff like that. She then posted negative feedback, which I told eBay that might happen. And then I explained to the eBay right at the end of the thing, just getting on, I was now an hour and a quarter late for work. explaining to them that I'd been given negative feedback because of their advice. Oh no, that's not the case. So I then copied and pasted the transcript of the part of the conversation where they advised me to do this, and they completely changed their tune. We decided to delete that negative feedback, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, this went on for 6 hours of what would have been part of my day at home. What are we looking at? They're listening. Don't worry, they're just listening. Unless magic's pulled out a cable somewhere along the line, they are listening. I hope. It's a very flat line.
It's
anybody
a very
still
flat
there?
Sound line going on. Have we killed everyone? Anybody there?
God, there must be.
There's a strange...
What?
You sound different.
That's you. So that's basically what happened to me on eBay this week. It ruined my day, but it's all over and done with now. I relisted the item, and things are progressing the way they should do. So that's a warning to anybody on eBay. Make sure that when you list stuff, list it correctly, and make sure it's still listed correctly a few days afterwards. Make sure eBay haven't deleted the photo you put on it, because they wouldn't let me upload a new one, because it was 5 hours to go.
Yeah.
Yes, because I know Ben Shoveler's had... I gave the woman an immediate refund. She said she hadn't had it. Even though I sent it to her. So I had to send the refund again. Terrible. Right,
no,
Doctor Who.
I don't do eBay.
Do
not anymore, no.
Yeah, I don't do eBay.
I've had too many silly questions from eBay, as in you put something up and then you get a question saying, would you be willing to sell this to me at 99 pence once the sale is over?
I've sold a couple of things, but it's been a long time. Yeah, I never had any problems.
Right, okay. What the... Yeah, so the Dalek number plate is still the most expensive listed item. Mm-hmm. What's this? Hua Chang, Mel Ferrer, VTG Monster Movie, Star Trek, Dracula, Peter Cushing.
That's Peter Cushing with a pipe.
Doesn't look like Peter Cushing.
It doesn't, does it?
You have to push it on the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, I'm doing it. There you go.
Well, you did really well there. Yeah. So that would is listed at...
That could come across as quite rude.
From the United States, at £3,819. I don't know what the American...
you're looking at
about seven grand, right?
Yeah, six and a half.
There's a pinball machine. I know Andy Moore would be interested in that. Original ballet Doctor Who pinball machine. That's a 2,850.
Wish I had room. That would be so.
None of those.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Where are you?
None of those have bids against them. However, there is an item on the page one with bids against it. Currently at £1,040. full size ride in NSD Dalek. Pick up from Stockport. So there you go, Kirby. If you nip over to Stockport with £1,040, it might be a little bit more because it's still
eight
got 8 days,
yeah.
Left. Three bids.
Oh, wow.
It's a nice looking Dalek, though. What's NSD mean?
New season Dalek?
New series Dalek.
It's the one of the Cult of Skara ones, looks like it.
Mm. Right. So I'm just...
Another one.
It's
another Dalek.
Oh, I thought I missed something that had a bid against it.
No, everything's buy it now.
Yeah, my lens was buy it now, and then put a 99 be a bid against it.
The 16mm film, no, that hasn't got
it. But it's still quite an interesting item. I'm not going to talk about it, though. Go on, then, you can mention it or something. 16mm film frame from the title sequence of Patrick Troughton. Yep,
good.
Mary is enthralled.
I think you might have lost her on the eBay tale.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting eBay tale.
It's a good warning
shot. I'm
going to
sign off here soon.
Yeah.
So.
We're nearly finished. Pay attention. It's a very interesting part of the show, this. See, she's not disagreeing with me.
She's probably just gone in.
She's about to click off, I think.
No, she won't have to. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to click off in a minute because I can't find anything to piece against.
No, there's nothing.
Goes away without saying goodbye. Just boop, boop.
Yeah. The doctor comes to get her. Off you go.
It's not on the next. Oh, there we go. I found one. Right. The second most expensively listed item with bids against it on eBay is four 211 sealed Doctor Who figures. And it says massive collection. Boasting or anything,
are
they?
No, that is a massive collection.
And this massive collection is £255 with six bids against 8 days left.
8 days left,
I expect there's probably a few duplicates in there, I would imagine.
Looks just like probably on the a shop.
Yeah,
yes,
I wonder if it's...
Is. Yeah, there's a few there.
I wonder if it's Dave Simon, who runs the Who Blackpool store, sort of semi-friend of the show, because he did appear on it once. I wonder if it's his stuff, because it does look like stock... Doesn't it? Shop stock. That's all. I don't think I'm going to bother looking down to see if I can find number three on the list. Next week, we don't know what we're, the week after next, sorry, we don't know what we're talking about because Kirby hasn't decided yet.
I will have we all decide. We. You will be given your standard voting thing. I'll do that this evening.
Okay.
Got 2 weeks away because next week I've
been in pain for the past week because of a roller coaster. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No. I'm never riding Ninja at Six Flags Over Georgia again.
Oh.
Didn't you ride it more than once?
No, that's Ninja is notorious for being extremely rough.
It sounds it.
Yeah. I mean, other coasters there are fine.
Well, if you go to the Thorpe Park website and look all the main rides there, the ones that you would have to get fast passes for. Alicia went on all of them with her boyfriend yesterday, and there's some horrendously amazing to look at from the ground. You look up at that one where they fire you up and you go, and it's a really tall tower thing, and you go up and down really quickly. And there's a few others in it, Stealth and so. Go on their website, the Thorpe Park website, and look at their main roller coasters. And
was it a wooden one, Kirby, or was it a new one?
Oh, no. Wooden ones I love, and...
Wooden ones tend to be rough.
No, they can be. Very bumpy.
Fine. Well, I rode one of them is called the Great American Scream Machine. that was the very first wooden roller coaster I ever rode when I was 12 years old.
Hmm.
And I always make sure to ride it because it's just a fantastic coaster. And I rode the Georgia Cyclone again. But the Ninja is... It's different. It's got the wrong train on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a train from a different coaster, and I think that's the problem with it. There's
but
never
you ride
a line.
It every year, right?
Throws you around.
I'm never riding that one again.
Well, it's funny to say, obviously, having taken Alicia out to Thorpe Park for her 17th birthday, when I first went to Thorpe Park was when Deb was 17, not you.
Not me.
So it was approximately 25 years ago to the day. That we went there, and one of the rides we went on was that Rapids one. It was sort of like a tyre thing with seats in it. And we all went
years,
on that.
Hmm? 2 years ago, I took the family up to Beach Bend Park in Kentucky.
Hmm.
And it was a rainy day, so there were no lines, even though it was the middle of summer. And my youngest daughter, who would have been 14 at the time, rode their one wooden roller coaster 42 times in a row.
Excellent. That's the sort of thing Isabella would do.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's...
Are these dueling amusement park stories here?
Yeah. Do you want to have a go, Mary?
No. Okay. We go to amusement parks periodically. We live close to one called King's Island.
Oh, King's
Island. King's Island is cool.
But not nearly as cool. Oh, no. You should go up... On Lake Erie, where I grew up in Cleveland,
Cedar Point.
We're closer to Cedar Point, and
that, to me, is
an amazing and wonderful park that I grew up with.
I've heard of that. Some of my friends have been there. Yeah,
I think it outdoes King's Island.
Look at that one. We're looking at Google Beaches.
They got them. The old Grand Blue National, that Blackpool Pleasure Beach is like that.
Oh, Mean Streak. Oh, that one is a mean one. I'll post a picture of. An on-ride picture of
Millennium
my wife
Force.
And me
yeah.
on Main Street. But the Beast is my favorite wooden roller coaster.
Well, Well, that that one, the top thrill dragster, that looks similar to that one I was telling you about that goes up and then down very, very
abruptly. I like the aggressive thrill rating of 5.
Yeah. Well, Kirby's not going to be doing those for much longer, no, but just looking at them and enjoying people screaming at them from a long distance. Anyway.
No, I just Ninja.
Wibbly wobbly.
Only Ninja.
Yes. So until next week, when we're going to be talking Doctor Who at the Cond Cerberus event. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
That'll be on Sunday, of course, 8 p.m.
UK time. That's it for the 20 megabyte podcast for this week. And I'd called it what David calls it. I called it the 20 megabyte podcast, but there is Doctor Who in there somewhere. and hopefully we'll have some old friendly faces back on the show for that particular thing. Mr. Matthew Kressel.
Yeah, just a single time visit by Matthew.
Final visit from Matthew.
Guest appearance. Yes. Yeah. A guest appearance.
And anymore, he and Debbie will have a little tete-a-tete. So until then, thank you for listening to the show. See you again next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.